The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
PJ had talked about how your tithes, your offerings, your financial gifts that you give, how they make a difference. 15 years ago, my wife and I, Trudy, started a missions organization called Trek International. I've been previously doing work in India and in Nepal and Cuba, and working with indigenous pastors to help plant churches. TREC is an organization, and it stands for Teach, Reach, Equip, and Comfort, and those are the four pillars of our ministry. And I just want to thank you for investing into TREC and to what God is doing. TREC is making a difference in the lives of people in these nations. I just got back from Nepal, and so my head is finally in this time zone. It's an 11 and a half hour time difference, so it's good to get the fuzziness and the jet lag over. I carried a group of six men with me, and we were in the Himalayas, visiting villages, passing out water filters, sharing the light of Jesus in Buddhist and Hindu villages, and working with our partners and the pastors and church planters that we partner with to help establish churches in these areas. And so they were there through the 4th. I came home on the 14th. I spent 10 days in the higher elevations of the Himalayas targeting villages. And one of those nights, actually it was the last night I was at elevation, and I was cold. It was very cold. I was a little over 9,000 feet, and the only heat you have is your gear. And so we were fortunate enough to find a little adobe mud stove, and we built a fire, and we're just, me and a couple of church planters, we're huddled around this little fire just trying to get some warmth. And all of a sudden, man, this beautiful, beautiful sound started happening. It was a Nepali flute. It was a little piece of bamboo about this big. And there was a little older man outside the little hut we were in, and he's playing this flute. The next thing I know, he's sitting down by the fire with us. And I'm getting to know this man. He is a devoted Hindu. His name's Madden. Get to know about his family and what he's doing in the mountains and how long he's been there, and just knowing his story. And God stopped me, and he said, "I brought Madden to you." And you know, the first thing that popped into my mind was fear, to be honest with you. See, in Nepal, when you have a non-conversion law, so if you try to convert somebody from one religion to another religion, all you have to do is go tell a police officer, and you're in prison for 5 years. So I'm like, "Lord, am I about to start a prison ministry?" And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guarded my heart, my mind. And I was able to share the gospel with Madden. And he said, I'll pray about it, and I think about it. I'm like, that's not my responsibility to share. I just want you to know I love you and I care about you. I can't wait to see you again. Talked with a church planter buddy. Madden was in church with him last week. Hey, you know what? God will get him home. He'll be a radical follower of Jesus before long, and who knows what people Madden will touch. And it's story after story after story like that Trek is committed to reaching people with the gospel of Christ, one person at a time. But we're also committed to taking the Church of America to places that are hard to get to. We call it getting our faith dirty. I invite you to join us in those treks, and also pray for our Cuba team. We're taking a team from Vaughn Forest to Cuba the last week of February to do street evangelism there. So we'll see what happens. We'll come back with some awesome stories of what God has done. Today, I want to share God's word with you. God's word is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is absolutely 100% true. You can stand on it. You can bet your life on it. It still applies to us today. It still applies to America. It still applies to our culture. It is relevant. And it is true. And I'll just stand before you today and tell you my opinion matters nothing. Only God's word. And so I want to spend the rest of the time and I want to talk to you about God's word, but I want to ask you a question. Why have you come into this building today? Okay? And it's just a building. It's a cool building. But it's just a building. You're the church. Why did you as the church come into this place today? And the older I get, you know what? I realize that my life needs to change. I'm not satisfied with the man that God wants me to be. There's still a lot of Jeff McFarland that needs to die. I need to be nailed tightly to the cross. And I realize that to be nailed tightly to the cross, I need people in my life to help me do that. Because, you know, there's probably a lot of words that people can use to describe me. There's a boatload of words my wife can use to describe me. One of those is, I guess you could say, I'm fiery. I have intense passion. I've got anger issues. My dad was an angry man. My grandfather was an angry man. His grandfather was an angry man. And you know what? Going to church on a Sunday has never helped my anger. I could come here and I can smile and I can act holy and I can preach the word of God, but I'm just telling you, I've got anger issues. I've got sin issues. My son came into town and wanted to swap out cars. He was going on a road trip, so he took my car, and I got in his car, cranked it up, and I started driving, and I got to about 45 miles an hour, and it felt like the front end of his car is about to fall off. And I called him. I'm like, Jake, how long has your car been doing this? He's like, doing what? I'm like, never mind. You know, never mind. I said, take my car back to Auburn. He was a student at Auburn. Take my car back to Auburn, and I got to get you a new set of tires. I looked underneath, and the inside of his tires are like, they're showing steel. And he had just got back from a road trip to California. So, yeah. And by the way, I was the interim pastor at Thornton Road Baptist Church. I was there for a year. So I got up on Monday. I met with the staff. I prayed with them, had a great day. Went to Firestone. Went to Firestone to get a new set of tires for my son. Cut a price. It was way too much money. Should have gone to Costco, but I went to Firestone, cut a price. The person told me, Mr. McFarland, it's going to be an hour and a half. Do we get to your car? It's going to be another hour till we do it. I said, 2.5 hours? 2.5 hours. I said, here's my cell number. I'm going to leave. Please call me. I'm real busy. My schedule is packed. I don't have time just to sit and do nothing. Would you call me if it's going to be longer? Yes, sir, Mr. McFarland. Trudy comes, gets me. We go have a great lunch. We're running errands. I'm clicking like Rick. I'm getting things done. I go into Firestone, and there's my son's car in the same spot. Let's just say I got fired. I get out of the car, and I hear Charlie Brown's teacher in the voice of my wife, wah, 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 you know? She's screaming, no, no, get back in the car. And I go in, and the person that waited on me, he goes, you're next. I'm like, I'm next. And I was a jerk. I mean, I was mad, I was angry, and I was right in my mind. The manager comes out. The manager is trying to make this right, and I'm not letting him off the hook. Mr. McFarland, here's a free oil change. Don't want oil change. Want my car done when you said it was going to be done. Mr. McFarland, here's 10% off. I don't want 10% off. I want my car done when you said it would. And he went on and on, and I was just a jerk. Finally, the car's done. I leave, and I'm like, this place will never get my business again. Next morning, I go to Opelika. There's one of the church members that's having knee replacement surgery. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to pray with this lady before she has surgery because it's the pastorly thing to do. So I go, and I'm going to eat breakfast with my son. We'll swap cars. I'll come back, get on to my busy day. So I go up there. I travel. It's 65 miles from my house to Opelika Medical Center. I find the pre-op, I find her room, there she is, she's laying in the pre-op, got her goofy little hat on and everything, and I walk in, and I'm like, Miss Pat, I came to pray with you for your surgery, and I felt this presence in the room, and I turn around, and God stopped heaven, I'm sure he did, and he said, boys, gather around, I want you to watch this, so I look, and do you know who was sitting? It was the manager of Firestone. The manager of Firestone was sitting. It was her son. And I felt like this tall. And I wish I just sort of would have backed out. She's like, Tommy, this is our pastor. And he loves the Lord. Oh, and he loves people. He goes on mission trips with people, and he just loves them. Jeff, have you met my son, Tommy? And I really wanted to lie. I did. I'm like, you know what? I can't be fiery and a liar. So I'm like, yes, I've met your son, Tommy, and he still hadn't figured it out. He knows. He knows me, but he doesn't know where. And I'm like, Tommy, we met yesterday at Firestone. And he looked at his mama and said, Mama, we've met. Yeah. We all have issues. And that's just one of mine. But something happens at church. When church is a place that we go instead of who we are, when it's a place that we just go and we come and we listen and we sing some songs and we drop some money in the plate and we leave, we don't change. And I want to talk to you today about that. I want to tell you a story. Remember, I'm ADD, okay? So you got to listen carefully because if I lose my place, you got to remind me where I'm at, all right? Jesus changes everything. But how many of you have been struggling with the same sin year in and year out? Is it true that Jesus changes everything? It is. Well, if I'm not changing, then it might just be something going on with me or with you that needs to change. In the book of John, there's a story, and you're going to see this number, 1144. We're going to have an 1144 type of morning, and I hope your life will turn into an 1144 type of life. But in John chapter 11, it's the story of Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary. Remember, Jesus had gone to their house. Martha was busy in the kitchen. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha gets jacked up because Mary's not helping. It's these people. But Jesus loves them very much. Actually, Mary is the one who anointed the feet of Jesus with costly perfume and wiped his feet with the tears from her eyes and her hair. Martha and Mary send word to Jesus, who's probably about 2 days away from them. They're in Bethany, which is about a probably two-hour walk outside of Jerusalem. And they send word to Jesus, your friend Lazarus that you love is sick. Come. Have you ever prayed to the Lord and it was something urgent? God, I need you to show up, and I need you to show up now. Because if you don't show up now, it's all going to fall apart. Well, let me just say, in an earthly way of looking at things, in this story, it fell apart. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And none of the king's horses and none of the king's men could put Humpty together again. Lazarus was dead. And by the time Jesus got there, he was 4 days dead. He was stinking dead. Anybody ever smelled death before? It's wretched, isn't it? Both Martha and Mary had approached Jesus at different times when he arrived and said, Jesus, if you would have just been here, if you would have just come when we asked you, our brother would be alive. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Lazarus was buried in a cave. It had a stone in front of it. And the sister's like, you can't take away the stone. There's going to be a terrible stench. Jesus wasn't concerned about the stench. Jesus wanted to show Martha and Mary. Jesus wanted to show a bunch of religious people the glory of God. And he said this in verse 40, Did not I say to you, that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. And I'm going to try real hard not to chase a rabbit right here, okay? But I'm going to chase a little one. Vaughn Forest Church, if you'll believe, if we will believe, we'll see the glory of God. We'll see the glory of God in ways that leaves us speechless. Why aren't we telling stories of chains falling? Why aren't we telling stories of God's miraculous healing? Why aren't we telling stories of God setting people free? It's not just about believing. It's about being people of faith. You want to be an 1144 type of person? You're a person of faith. And we don't walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. All Mary and Martha had to pull from is what they had seen. They had seen Jesus heal the sick, give sight to the blind, made the deaf hear, the lame, the mute speak, the lame walk, set the demon possessed free, turn water to wine, miracle after miracle after miracle, but they'd never seen the dead raised. If you'd have just been here, he'd still be alive. Listen, I think it's just a word for us today. Vaughn Forest, believe. You don't see the glory of God? Believe. Walk by faith. You want it? You want to get rid of your chains? Believe. You want to be set free? You want to get rid of fear? Believe. Verse 43, Jesus approaches the tomb. Try and visualize it in your mind. You've got a tomb. You've got a stone over it. You've got people around it, and you've got people mourning, okay? In that time, they even had professional mourners, and that was their job. They mourned, and it was just like this deep, guttural, just mourning sound. It is hopeless because Lazarus is dead. The stone's rolled away, and Jesus speaks to a dead man, And he speaks life. And he says this, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out. And it said he said it with a loud voice. And here comes Lazarus. He comes out of the ground. Verse 44 says he came out. And when he came out, he was bound hand and foot. And there was a handkerchief over his face. And so we're like, huh. And so I'm a visual dude, okay? I'm trying to visualize this, okay? His hands and his feet were bound, and he had a handkerchief over his face. What's the deal with that? So I started doing some research because I like pictures. Hebrew burial traditions, depending on the size of Lazarus, more than likely he had 75 to 100 pounds of grave clothes wrapped around him, okay? And the majority of the grave clothes was wrapped around his head, and it was grave clothes and spices, and the spices were there to keep the smell down. So Lazarus had 75 to 100 pounds of spices and grave clothes wrapped around him. The majority of that is wrapped around the head. And it's wrapped around the head because that's where you got most of the openings. That's where most of the odor comes from. So when Lazarus comes out of the grave, he is, picture mummy. Picture somebody bound like a mummy. So he didn't have any movement. And I want to share with you the power of God's word, okay? These six little words right here can radically transform our lives. It can give our lives meaning and give our lives purpose. Jesus looks at the people that are around Lazarus and he says this, okay? Unbind him and let him go. Take off his grave clothes and let him go. Take off those grave clothes and set him free. See, Jesus had just given Lazarus abundant life, new life. He had made him a new creation in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, the old Lazarus was passed away, and there is a brand new Lazarus right there. But in the physical realm, Lazarus is being suffocated by his grave clothes. And every one of us who follow Christ, when we follow Christ, the moment our spiritual journey starts, when we go from death to life, every one of us are in the same condition. We have grave clothes. And they suffocate us. And our grave clothes keep us from experiencing the John 10:10 life that he says that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so Jesus looked at the people and said, unbind him and let him go. And I find it very interesting that Jesus didn't go over there and take those grave clothes and pull them off. No, he commanded the people to do that. And he's commanded you and I to do the same thing. Unbind him and let him go. Hey, who do you think went up there and grabbed those nasty grave clothes? Oozy, pus, nasty, death, wretched grave clothes. Who do you think went and grabbed hold of that? I'm going to tell you who did not. It wasn't the religious people. I ain't touching that, because if I touch that, I'm spiritual. And if I touch that, I won't be able to go to the temple for 7 days. I can't touch anything that's dead. It wasn't just a general acquaintance. It wasn't a buddy. It was somebody that had great love, said, you know what, I don't care what religion says. I don't care what anybody else thinks. All I know is my friend was dead, and now he's alive. And I'll do whatever I have to do to make sure he experiences the abundant life, the abundant new life he just got. That brings us to how does this apply to you and me? I got grave clothes. When I got saved, grave clothes of anger, grave clothes of lust, grave clothes of pride. And I can just go ahead and keep listing things. And I want to tell you what, this boy right here grew up the son of a Baptist preacher. And this boy right here is real good at camouflaging his grave clothes. I can dress them up. I can make them smell good. I can come here and go, you know what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. How are you doing, brother? Man, I'm doing great. And I go home and I walk out the doors of a building. And I never address the grave clothes of my life. I never tell anybody my struggles. And the Bible has a term for this. Do you know what the biblical term for this type of behavior is? Hypocrisy. It's play acting. I act one way around one group of people and act a total different way around another group of people. But all along, I'm suffocating in my grave clothes. You know what? I remember when the day I took my mask off. I remember the day I took my mask off in front of my wife. Wow, it's a hard day. But that day was a day that I started breathing. That was the day that I started learning to enjoy abundant life. Because you know what? When I confessed, I started breathing. And then I had people in my life that got it where I could get the bandages off my eyes and I could finally see God at work in and around me. And got the bandages off my ears and I could finally hear the Spirit of the living God speaking to my spirit. And the Word of God wasn't just a bunch of stories. It was life, and it was changing my life. And I could get a hand free. And I could start helping everybody else. Man, that's all I got. I don't have to be totally 100% free to start helping somebody. I just got to be able to breathe, see, hear from the Lord, and be willing to use what I got to help set people free in the name of Jesus. God brings people in our lives to help us get our grave clothes off. Really, guys, I don't even need to be standing in front of you, okay? I don't have it together. But God is giving me a treasure. He is giving me a lifelong friend that's so much more than a friend. He's giving me a treasure that I've met with probably for over 9 years now, every Friday. And this man helps me with my grave clothes. It's Hardy. I love you, Hardy Sellers. But you know what? I had to tell Hardy what my struggles were. I had to take my mask off. I had to take my religiosity off. And I had to just be real. And man, you know what? I wish I could look at Hardy and Hardy could look at me and just say, you know what, it is just, ever since that first day, it's just been smooth sailing. It's been awesome. It hadn't. It's hard. Following Christ is very hard. That's why it gives us supernatural power to do it. But I'm telling you what, it's harder when you got grave clothes on. Let me just go ahead and say this. It's not harder. It's impossible. It's impossible to follow after Christ. It's impossible to be 1144 type of person, to have an 1144 type of ministry where we unbind people and let them go until we first deal with our own grave clothes. And the only way we deal with them is we have to take the mask off and say, I messed up. I need help. I need help. I like to climb. Love to climb. And you're like, fat boys shouldn't climb. Well, I'm a climber by faith, okay? I love it. I always have. And I remember as a six-year-old boy, I was with my dad, my mom, and my brothers, and we were at this Christian retreat center, and they had these cool buildings, and they're all made out of stone. And it had these stone columns that went up two stories all the way to the roof line, and there's like this bar that hung off the roof line, and then there's this other column. And I'm like, yes, yes, I'm climbing this puppy. And so I'm gonna climb all the way up to that bar, and I'm gonna monkey bar it across all the way, and I'm gonna get to the other side, and I'm gonna climb down. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm Spider-Man. I mean, I was like, great plan. You know, I mean, I've always taught my kids, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. I mean, come on, live on the edge. And so, man, here I go. And I climb up this column, and I get to the top, and I'm like a rock star, man. I'm climbing across, and I get about halfway across, and I am done. And I look down, and I'm like, I'm going to die. Fear gripped me, and I did the only thing that a six-year-old boy knew to do. I screamed as loud as I could for my dad. Daddy! You know that scream, moms and dads? You have to interpret those screams, don't you? Oh, they're bleeding out of their ears. I better go. You know, I mean, that kind of scream. And before I knew it, my dad was up underneath me. And do you know what this man had the nerve to ask me to do? He said, let go. Let go of that ledge, and I'll catch you. I'm like, no, Daddy. You come up the steps, and you pull me up. Church, that's not faith. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know what your grave clothes are. But I know you got them. Fear, pride, anger, lust, control, codependency, worry, anxiety, stress. And you come in this building every week, and you pray, and you sing the songs, and you give your tithes and your offerings. And you walk out this door, and your life isn't changed. And you keep saying, Daddy, would you just pull me up? And I'm just here today to tell you that your daddy, your heavenly Father, who loves you with an everlasting love, is telling you to let go. Let go of your fear. Let go of your anger. Let go of pornography. Let go of pride. Let go of lust. Let go of lying. Let it go. Because it's suffocating you. It's suffocating you, and you're not able to experience the abundant life that Jesus has for you. I let go of that rail. And my dad caught me. He didn't let me fall. As a dad, thinking in my own life as a dad, there might be a lot of things I did do wrong as a father, but I ain't let my kids hit the ground. They might land on my fat body, but they ain't hitting the ground. Let go. An all-loving Father will catch you And for the first time in your life, you'll send somebody into your life start helping you with your grave clothes. And you might leave out of this building, and the first time in your spiritual journey, you're able to breathe, or able to see, or able to hear, or able to touch someone and help them with the grave clothes. Jesus said in the psalm, "Call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will heal you, and I will deliver you, and you will give me glory." We'll start seeing the glory of God. Do you want to change? Do you want to have an 1144 type of ministry? It starts when you deal with your own grave clothes. People say, "Jeff, why do you like to do altar calls?" Because I'm ADD, okay? Because I can't ever remember where I put my keys. And I'll go out in my car and I'll start looking at my phone. I'll go home and my grandkids will ask me 300 questions in 30 seconds and I'll forget. Sometimes the best time to do business with God is right now. It's right now, before you forget, before you get caught up in the busyness of the day. And come down to this altar and say, "I want help with my grave clothes." I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Number one, it's going to be one of the hardest things you ever got to do. Okay? All right? I know we're going a little long. I'm sorry. I don't care right now. It's probably my last time. Okay? I'll really take the mask off. The man standing in front of you was tangled up in pornography. As a pastor, as a minister, I was. And I wore this mask that I had it all together, and I just didn't. And I made promise after promise after promise to God that I'd never look at pornography again. And there was this vicious cycle in my life where I would get lonely, or I'd get angry, or I'd get mad, and instead of turning to God, I would turn to pornography. And I hate sharing this. I wish it wasn't part of my life, but it is. But it's part of my past. And I had to share with Hardy Sellers, and I had to share with Trudy McFarlane, the real Jeff McFarlane. And I'm sharing it with you because there's not a day that goes by that I'm not tempted to look at pornography. I don't, because it's not worth it. It's garbage. I don't want to be the dog returning to his vomit. But I'm telling you what, if God puts this mug in your mind, you know how to pray for me now, don't you? I ain't standing in front of people and telling them all is good when it's not. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He hates your guts. He wants to destroy you. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And today, we need to do business with God before our new pastor gets here. We need to do business with God. And you come down here and you kneel at this altar and say, "I've got grave clothes issue." There's somebody that's going to be right behind you, that's going to walk with you through the process. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And I'm just... 303-2626. 303-2626. I'll walk with you, one sinner to another, and we'll experience life the way Jesus gives us. Man, we'll help people. We'll be 1144 type people. Father, continue to do business with us. And I pray for that person right now who is so afraid, who's terrified to deal with their grave clothes, really concerned about what people think. Lord, I pray that you would speak to that person. And I pray, Lord God, that there would be some healing, physical, spiritual healing taking place as we pray, as we sing. I pray that chains would fall. I pray, Lord God, that fear would be done away. I pray that marriages would be restored. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would show us your glory, that you would show us your power in a way that leaves us speechless. Lord, help us to let go of the rails of security that we've held on way too long and fall right into the arms of a loving, holy God. I pray you come and you do business with the Lord as he leads you.